Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Belshazzar's Great Feast as we pick up in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
So we turn now in our Bible to Daniel chapter 5. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. There are men who call themselves Bible scholars, and they belong to a school known as higher criticism. And one of their reasons for this declaration was that in secular history, they had not discovered the name Belshazzar. But one of the ancient historians, Neobonus, who gave a genealogy of Nebuchadnezzar, and there was no mention of any Belshazzar in the genealogy that he gave. And naturally, the historian could not be wrong. It's got to be the Bible. And so they put out their disclaimers on the book of Daniel and discredited the book, and they gave a later author and just were willing to use any little excuse to disbelieve the book of Daniel. However, Sir Rawlinson, one of the great archaeologists, was doing a lot of excavating in the area of Babylon, the palace of Shushan, when they discovered it. And he found some very interesting, many interesting tablets and all, in which the name Belshazzar and all existed. And there were, of course, many confirmations of this particular account that we have in Daniel. And so the critics, you'd think they'd give up. No, they just went to something else. But nonetheless, once more, the archaeologist Spade has proved the truth of God's word, its authenticity, its reliability, and it's a rather tragic thing that man keeps pounding away, hoping that one day he'll discover a true flaw. You would think that after this length of time, surely as brilliant and all as these men are, they would have found one that they could have hung their hats on, or you'd think that they'd be wise enough to quit trying, you know, at this length. The account of Belshazzar is an interesting account. Belshazzar was not really the son of Nebuchadnezzar. In the language, there was really no real words for grandson. So the son of means that he came from that lineage or from the line. He was actually the grandson of Belshazzar, and he was co-regent with his father. Now, being a co-regent with his father, it would seem that his father was, according to other historians, his father was leading the Babylonian troops in their battles, whereas Belshazzar remained at the palace and in Babylon, ruling there in Babylon. His father, a king, also co-reigning with his son Belshazzar, was out in the field with the troops in their conquering and plundering. And that is, of course, the reason why when this experience came where there was the handwriting on the wall and Daniel was brought in to interpret it, he offered Daniel the third part of the kingdom, because there were already two parts, one to his father, one to him. And so Daniel would receive the third part of the kingdom. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. He drank wine before the 1,000. So here's a tremendous party. It lasted for quite a period of time. Josephus records it, gives us some interesting details about it, as does Herodotus, the other ancient historian, and Xenophon also makes reference to this banquet. There are stories of ostriches pulling around trays of fruits and nuts and delicacies and quite a party. In fact, they say that the incense was so thick within the chambers that when a person would just walk in, they'd become intoxicated with the thickness of the incense. Belshazzar, while he was tasted the wine, or actually while he was under the influence of the wine, commanded to bring the gold and the silver vessels, which his father, which would have been grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, his concubines, began to drink from them. And they drank wine, and they praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, iron, wood, and of stone. And in the same hour came forth the fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Quite a graphic description of the whole affair, to say the least. As his thoughts began to trouble him, and of course, well might his thoughts trouble him, as he had taken these vessels that had been sanctified for use in the temple unto the Lord only, and he had profaned, not only profaned them by drinking his wine out of them, but he began to praise the gods of gold and silver. Now, there's an interesting prophecy in Isaiah chapter 21, in which, in verse 2, the prophet declares, "Go up, O Elam, besiege, O Media," or the Medes, "all the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me as the pangs of a woman that travails. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me." And he speaks then, of course, of the Babylon is fallen. All the graven image of her God are broken to the ground in verse 9. So it's a prophecy against Babylon, speaking of the fall of Babylon, and surely seems to describe a couple of 100 years before the event, this very thing of which Daniel now describes took place there, as the heart was panting, fearfulness affrighted me, the night of my pleasure, he hath turned into fear unto me. And of course, this is the night that Babylon fell. Cyrus, the Persian king, Medo-Persian king, came in to conquer. And that, of course, brings up another interesting prophecy in Isaiah as he was prophesying the destruction of Babylon, in which he names Cyrus in chapter 44 of Isaiah, verse 28. "Then saith he of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, he shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings." So you read here that his loins were loosed, and the joints, his knees began to smite one against another. And here is the prediction, 200 years in advance. "I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two levied gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight," and so forth. And he said, "that you may know that I am the Lord, which call thee by thy name. I am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name and surnamed thee." Now, Isaiah wrote this about the year 712 BC. We are writing of things that took place in the year of about 538 BC. So 150 years before the event, God speaks about it, and he talks about loosing the loins of the kings and opening up the levied gates. The city of Babylon was thought to be totally impregnable. It had a wall some 300 feet high, 80 feet thick, with these massive towers upon it. And then it had also a secondary wall, not quite as large. The river Euphrates flowed through the middle of the city of Babylon. The wall was 15 miles around the city. And the city was lined off with blocks going east and west, or streets, wide streets going east and west and north and south. Now, where these streets intersected the Euphrates River, they had bridges, and they also had gates that they could shut so that the Euphrates River could be sealed off, and the city actually be divided into two by the sealing off of the Euphrates River. According to the historians, the night that Babylon fell, this particular night that we're reading about in chapter 5, for some reason, and they say it was because the soldiers were too drunk to know what they were doing, they did not lock those gates to the levee or that came in from the river Euphrates. Now, Cyrus, the king of the Medo-Persian army, had diverted or had built diversion channels for the river Euphrates. And he diverted the flow of the river Euphrates, and his soldiers came under the wall in the riverbed, having diverted the flow of the river. And then they came up into the city and found these gates unlocked and were able to come in and take the city. Of course, the soldiers were really too drunk to defend it. And so, prophesied by Daniel in great detail, even naming the king that God would use to destroy the city of Babylon. And now, the fulfillment of it, and God mentioning even such things as the loins being loosed in prophecy, the joints of the loins being loosed. The fear that came upon Belshazzar when he saw the hand of God. You know, there are people whose activities are those of open blasphemy against God. There are people who seem to be so forward in their mockery, ridicule, and blaspheming of God. It seems that there is no fear of God within their hearts at all. And they are just brazen. Imagine this man calling for the gold and silver vessels that have been sanctified for use in the temple of God, and now drinking his wine out of these vessels as he praises gods of gold and silver. But suddenly, he saw the hand of God, and this king who seemed to be so brazen and so blasphemous is suddenly shaking like a leaf. And there are people today who seem to be so brazen and blasphemous in their activities. But once they see the hand of God beginning to come in judgment, I've seen God break people just down to a withering leaf kind of a thing. People talk so tough. People seem to be so blasphemous against God. But when God begins to work, I'll tell you, there's no man that can stand against it. This fellow began to shake. His thoughts troubled him, and well might they trouble him. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers. And the king spoke and said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. His father was first, he was second. He is offering now the position of third ruler. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. And then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen, that is the queen mother, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in the kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made the master of the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, the interpreting of dreams and the showing of hard sentences and the dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar. Now let Daniel be called, and he will show you the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that you can make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now, if you can read the writing and make known to me the interpretation, you will be clothed with scarlet. You'll have a chain of gold about your neck. You'll be the third ruler in the kingdom. Interesting reputation that Daniel possesses. In him dwells the spirit of the holy gods. A man of excellent wisdom, understanding. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Keep your gifts. Give your rewards to someone else. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known unto him the interpretation. The gifts of God are not really to be bought. It is really wrong for a man to receive hire or to be hired to do the work of God in that sense. Jesus spoke about the hireling. And for a man to sell these God-given capacities would be a wrong thing. It would be the prostituting of the gifts and the works of God. That is why Daniel said, keep your gifts, give them to someone else. I don't need them. I'll tell you what it says. I'll interpret it for you. But before he interprets it, he's going to give the king a little message. Now, at this point, Daniel must be close to 90 years old, because the 70 years of the captivity are almost over. He was probably a teenager, maybe late teens, when he was taken captive. So the 70 plus the late teens puts him up close to the 90 mark. Probably 85 to 90 years old, somewhere in there. And he takes now this opportunity to preach a stern message to this young king. O thou king, the Most High God gave to Nebuchadnezzar, your father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all of the people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. And whom he would, he slew. The absolute authority that Nebuchadnezzar possessed. Whom he would, he kept alive. Whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened by pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. They took it. These watchers from heaven.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Daniel on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Daniel 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord be with you. Give you a beautiful week. May you be filled with the power of His Holy Spirit, and may you indeed walk in love, that kind of love that comes from God, that overcomes every obstacle and barrier that is built up against it. May you truly love those that hate you and do good unto those that despitefully use you, and thus truly demonstrate the traits and the qualities the children of the King, in Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
I have a question for you. How would you like to go from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year using a daily Bible devotional? And what if this devotional was written by Pastor Chuck? Then I've got great news. Be one of the many thousands of readers who have enjoyed reading Wisdom for Today, a daily devotional that speaks volumes of wisdom to apply to your everyday life. Come alongside Pastor Chuck as he takes you on a journey from Genesis to Revelation, providing God's truth to answer your questions and discover how this might very well become your most beloved and cherished devotional ever. To order your copy of Wisdom for Today, a leather hardback, for yourself or for a loved one, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673. Or visit us online for more information and to read a preview at thewordfortoday.org.